This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, I got a couple social media things going on here I got to ask about. I'm going to bring Josh in here. Sal Capaccio with you, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get that right out of the way this morning. Good morning to you. It is a Wednesday, February 12th. Did you see the video? I'm just watching this video now of Danny Hurley at following beating Creighton last night.
Was it last night? Right? Yeah, this was last night. It's so funny. Danny Hurley, what a character, right? Like,
I mean, so Danny Hurley, did they win? They won the game, right? Excuse me. They won the game, I believe, right? I got to check and make sure.
They did. 70-66 over Creighton.
Okay, 70-66. They win the game. So he's getting harassed as he walked off the court. You know, people just shouting things at him. That's what fans do. They yell at players and coaches of the other team and you suck and we'll go home. Whatever they're saying, I don't know. Can hardly even hear what they're saying on there. But Danny Hurley is walking off the court, and he's going through into the tunnel, and he starts shouting back at the fans, and he has the best response, two rings, right? And it's like, I mean, what else can you, right? I mean, dude, he's the back-to-back champ, and he just beat you in your building, and you're giving him crap. Like, that's the best response. He doesn't have to say anything else. But then, the funniest part is, he looks at a guy. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looks at a guy and calls him baldy.
That's the best part.
Danny Hurley is bald.
Right. Right. But then you can like faintly hear like two rings, baldy. And it's like, wait, did he just, is he going after a guy that's bald while he is also bald? Like,
right. That's like me calling someone baldy.
Right.
Can you imagine? Capaccio, you suck. Your opinions are terrible on the air. Shut up, baldy. Like, what? That's me. Oh, my God. It's great. Danny Hurley. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he is bald. You think he's bald, right? He's not. He does have, like the hair like this morning I had when I shaved it. I shaved my head. He's got that going on. But you'd call him bald, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, because every once in a while, he'll shave that off and be bald. And
right.
Besides, his hair is basically white. Like, when it's short enough, it doesn't look like he has hair there. Like, I consider him bald.
Yeah, me too. So he calls someone bald. That's amazing. I love it. What a clip. Just saw this a little while ago. Did you see the one he did, like, a couple of weeks ago? He said to an official, I'm the best coach in the bleeping sport. Like, the official was saying something to him or whatever. He was getting on him, and he didn't think he was getting respected by the official. And he says to the official, I'm the best coach in the blanking sport. Do you see that one?
No, that's a bit too far, I think. I mean, saying to a fan, look at my two rings, like, that's one thing. But, like, that's a bit too...
I mean, but this is him. This is him. This is
right.
This is partly what makes Danny Hurley Danny Hurley, though.
Right, right.
Right? And that family. And you don't have to like the Hurleys. And Bobby did a great job when he was here at UB, and now he's at Arizona State. And it's going okay here and there, not the greatest. But Danny, you know, I mean, he's won two championships. And some people just don't like the family and without the whole, you know, where Bobby played at Duke and all that stuff. I mean, just the style and the family and the coaching. And some people love it. I think it's great entertainment. And he's right. He's great. He's done an amazing job. We are going to talk about the college sports scene today a bit with our buddy Brent Axe. Brent's going to join me at the bottom of the hour. And I did not book Brent to necessarily talk about Syracuse athletics, but you know we do when he's on because that's what he covers. And he's at Syracuse.com. And last night, I mean, Syracuse basketball goes to Miami, the worst team in the ACC, Miami. They're like 1-11. And they, or whatever their freaking record was, I don't even remember. But and Syracuse loses. And it's just so, I'm a hardcore, really lifelong, not just because I went to school there, but like even before that, big time Syracuse basketball fan. And it hurts me, it pains me to see how bad they are in basketball. Like it just sucks, you know? And I don't know if there's any climbing out of it because of, yes, this nice recruiting class coming in. Who cares? Like, I used to really follow recruiting for Syracuse basketball, and I do somewhat now still because of Kyan Anthony coming next year, Carmelo Anthony. But I think this is true for a lot of people in college sports. If you're, this is, like, I think I represent a lot of college sports fans out there when I say this. Like, it's just so tough to follow, like, the way you used to because of the changing landscape. And Syracuse football's done it better, and Fran Brown came in, and look where they are. But even then, like, who's the quarterback? Who's the quarterback next year? Oh, yeah, you have this great recruit. Donnie Freeman comes into Syracuse. Where is he next year? Just going to leave, I'm sure. It's crazy. It's the wild, wild west. It's, you know, you could transfer any time, any year, for any reason. Don't like what your situation is. Go somewhere else. Oh, we're going to pay you a lot of money in NIL. And it's just a wild, total shift in the landscape. And I want to ask Brent what it's like covering, you know, college sports now. And yes, we will touch on why Syracuse basketball is so bad. Is just because maybe Adrian Autry isn't a good coach? Is it because of NIL money? Is it what's going on? And we'll do that. But I wanted to talk to him about the changing college sports landscape. On the heels, by the way, yesterday, and really congratulations, the report came yesterday, Pete Lembo. Contract extension with UB football, and haven't reached out to anybody at UB yet. We'd like to get somebody. We'll talk with Pete again down the road. Had him on the show a couple of times, but really, Pete Thamel was on it yesterday. New contract, adds a year to his deal, gives him a raise, includes a significant increase in resources for assistant coaches and staff. They went 9-4 this season, went to the Bahamas Bowl. They won the Bahamas Bowl. He's done an amazing job, and I think that it is interesting to see. Like, some of these coaches can survive and do this, whether it's mid-major programs or it's bigger programs. Look at Danny Hurley, right? I mean, yes. And then I think some of these programs who you traditionally know to be really good have been really tough for them to find their footing and how to do this. So I do want to talk with Brent about that. But that's part of the program today. That's at 10:30 a.m. At 11 o'clock, we'll have Paul Hamilton. The Four Nations face-off begins tonight. Who's playing tonight? Canada and Sweden, is it? Is that the schedule tonight?
Yeah, at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, right? I'm super jacked up for this. And I'm partly jacked up because I think the talent is amazing to watch. But I think I'm just super curious what it looks like, aren't you? Like, remember yesterday I asked Carlo Koliakovo, who joined us yesterday on the program, I said, like, how intense will this be? And he said, that is the question, right? And that's what I'm really interested in, Josh. Like, how intense? Because these guys, I would say, to me, soccer and hockey, like, those two sports come to mind right away when you talk about playing for country and playing for pride throughout, you know, Olympics and history, the last, you know, whatever amount of years and decades. Soccer and hockey always seem like those two sports where it's really kind of matters. And basketball is getting there too now because it's such a global sport, but really those two sports. And when these guys put on a uniform for Canada, for Team Canada, for Team Sweden and Finland and USA, it means something to them. They're also in the middle of their season and trying to win Stanley Cups. And I'm super interesting. And it's interested in what this looks like, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited to see the intensity level. I think it's going to be even more than what we expect. I mean, if the Rasmus Dahlin that showed up in Nashville last weekend for the Sabres shows up for this tournament, Sweden is going to really be a problem, I think. I don't think people are giving them enough credit. But another thing that I think is going to be an interesting issue for teams to deal with is the Tkachuk brothers being on the same team and both just kind of being who they are. I mean, they're going to be physical. They're going to be in your face. I mean, I'm excited to see those two go up against that, you know, whatever you want to call it, five-headed monster of a power play unit in Canada. I mean, the USA-Canada game in Montreal on Saturday is going to be the game of the year.
Yes.
regardless of what happens the rest of the NHL season, that will be the hockey game of the year, because there's going to be so much going on in that game with the skill level on Canada, just the general rivalry of the two countries in terms of, you know, where they are with hockey. I mean, Canada hasn't won a cup since 1993, so here we are. You know, like it's there's a lot to be had there, and I'm so excited for all the different storylines.
Yeah, we're gonna. You know what's? I keep thinking about this though, Josh, which is you would really hate if they're gonna go hard, right? They're gonna go intense. I think it's gonna mean a lot. But man, you just can't have somebody get injured in a situation like this on a team that's trying to get where they're trying to go, right? That's what I have in the back of my head. I hate thinking like that. I don't want to be negative, but you know, like there's gonna be a couple injuries that happen. It happens all the time in any sport and competitively. There's going to be a couple of guys coming out of this with, you know, nicks and bumps and bruises, and hopefully that's all. But if there's some sort of major injury to a really key player, I don't know if we'll see anything like this again, to be quite honest with you. Like that would be a huge, major, unfortunate talking point, regardless of how good the competition and the games are.
Yeah, that's the one tough thing is it's like when you look, like you brought up soccer, right? Like when the World Cup happens, they have, like the teams have done this for years. So they have their schedules kind of built around it, and it only lasts for a few weeks, but it's in the middle of their off season. Whereas with the NHL, you don't know when your season's going to end sometimes. So like you could be done in April or you could be done in July. Like there's so much variance there where you can't say, oh, well, why don't they just do this in, you know, the end of July, early August? Well, that some teams just finished playing and then you're getting ready for training camp. So it's like, I don't know if there's ever like a good time to do this, which is the hardest part, because they're so good. Like this is one of my favorite things. Like, and I wish they could do it more often, but that's the hardest thing is they can't, because you have to kind of, you know, keep the players in mind and keep your regular season in mind. So it's tough, but I do hope there's a way they can maybe figure this out eventually, because it is a huge draw for people. I mean, this is gonna draw a lot of attention, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a fun watch. It starts tonight. Starts off in Montreal. Then they go to TD Garden, I think, next week, right? When they start the they have their other games next week, and then the Ultimate Championship, I believe, as well. So we'll talk about that today with Paul Hamilton at 11 a.m. Couple of football items to get to today. Later today, I'm going to rank 1 through 7 the new head coach hires in the NFL, not according to how successful I think they'll be. Totally different. According to how well I think the team did on what they needed. Now, I could say, oh my God, they really needed this, and that's what they hired. That's a great hire for them for what they needed. Doesn't mean it's going to work. You have so many factors at play, because who's your quarterback? Is your owner a meddling owner? Can you get out of the way of that? But for what the team needed, they got that particular person. And there's some teams that needed certain things that got it. There's some teams that needed certain things that didn't get it. So I'll rank those 1 through 7. 7 new head coaches on the heels of yesterday it being officially announced that Kellen Moore was hired by the New Orleans Saints. By the way, did you see the story, Josh, of possibly Dan Orlovsky maybe adding to the Saints coach, going to the Saints coaching staff?
Really?
That is a rumor.
Okay, because I know his contract at ESPN's up, but
We think that's the case because he did. You may have read that. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Well, I kind
of, there's been some talk about that, but I do know this. He went on ESPN the other day, and when he signed off, he made it sound like he might not be back on ESPN.
Yeah, that was like the way he signed off of First Take the other day. It sounded kind of like, because he said he won't be back on TV for a while. So,
but I will say, though, that the people who do those football shows, Josh, the people who do those football shows, they sometimes take months off because they're grind during football season. So sometimes, hey, I'm not going to be on TV for a while, I mean, like, I'll see you at the draft. Like, sometimes that could be the case.
Right.
But in this case, it seemed like he was more so kind of reflecting, you know, on his time. And then there was a story that came out that I read that said there's some speculation that he could join the Saints coaching staff because him and Kellen Moore apparently are very tight.
I mean, that'd be interesting. I don't really know what he would bring, though. Like, he does have a lot of good, he has great analysis when he's on these shows. Like, I love watching him break down the all 22s and stuff like that. But Has he ever coached before? I mean, is this going to be his
first? No, the question would be for me is what is the role? Like, are you actually running a position group?
Right.
Are you in the background breaking down film? Like, that, all of that would have to be decided. Plus, I just don't think it's a great move. However, it's awesome if that's what he wants to do, and he could always go back to TV. But we'll see if that's the case. But I just thought that was interesting with the Kellen Moore hiring in New Orleans. And then, of course, we have James Cook. So James Cook, let me just kind of set this up, and you looked into it a little bit. I asked because I try to keep up with the social media stuff that's going on, and in this day and age, a lot of the players, that's how they communicate. What apparently happened was, and did happen, on an Instagram live story, is that what it is?
Yes.
There was, so, I don't know who was running the story. You could tell me and fill in the blanks on what James Cook did or wrote.
Well, so I don't really know if there's like a moderator or anything because it is his account, right? Like
okay.
He went live on his account. So basically he is just kind of sitting in there and it's like when we live stream our shows on YouTube now, right? Like people can come in and comment at him and listen to what he's talking about or watch what he's doing or whatever. Some people do this for video games, some people do it when they're just hanging out. Like a lot of media personalities, celebrities, whatever, do this sort of thing. In this feature, though, a lot like how you can pin a tweet on Twitter, where it'll be at the top of your Twitter feed, you can pin comments. You can pin certain things that you want people to see right when they come in. It'll be the most recent comment, no matter when it was commented. In this case, he pinned his own comment that said 15 mil a year. And I didn't watch the live, so I don't know what he was talking about in it, but the screenshot that I'm seeing is a black screen. So it could have just been him, you know, talking to people or just hanging out or whatever. But the big thing was the fact that he pinned a comment that said 15 mil a year, and it was his own comment. So kind of interesting there.
First of all, if you asked me any player on the Bills who would be doing a live Instagram story, I would tell you that James Cook would be way down the list. Does he do a lot of these? Does he go live on Instagram a lot?
I'm not really sure. I don't get the notifications when he goes. I follow him on Instagram, but I don't get the notifications when he goes live. So
right,
because you can do that.
Maybe
too.
He does this a lot, but he is not the personality I would think would be on Instagram live a lot.
No, yeah,
you know what I mean. He's a super quiet guy. So if you said to me, hey, rank the Bills players who would be going on Instagram live, like, all right, well, Von Miller's going to do that. He's his own podcast and, you know, things like that. Deion Dawkins. I would not be selecting James Cook. So I'm just wondering from that aspect of it, which is interesting. So 15 mil. Okay. So I know the guys talked a little bit about this today. Can we... Here's what I want to do. I want to throw this out because we have Brent Axe coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's do this now. I have open phone lines. So if you want to call up and get in on this, you are more than welcome, and I can take your phone calls here for the next 10, 15 minutes. 803-0550 is the number to call. How, excuse me, how would you approach James Cook's pending possible contract? Because he is under contract with the Bills for one more year, by the way. Like, this is not something, just so everybody's aware, this is not something like he's going to be a free agent in March and next month. He is under contract for $5.1 million heading into 2025. That is the last year of his contract. After that, if he plays out this contract, he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season. So the Bills, though, because he's played 3 years, are allowed now to give him a contract extension. You have to wait 3 years. That's happened. How would you approach James Cook's pending contractual status? The Bills have had, give me a call, 803-0550. I'd like to hear from you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today. The Bills have had this philosophy of running backs and how to treat them and how to pay them. And I think it's generally pretty much worked. Like, they do not overpay for running backs. It is not a position you should overpay for in the NFL. You pay, when you have a great quarterback, you pay him. Like a Josh Allen, a Joe Burrow, a Patrick Mahomes, and whatever. When you have a great left tackle, you pay him. Like a Deion Dawkins gets his contract extension. When you have a great edge rusher, you pay him. Like, these are a corner. There are certain positions you pay when you have someone great. You don't pay running backs because I think in the NFL, you can get by with having a different level of replacement versus a quarterback or a corner or a left tackle or an edge rusher. However, this is the type of running back that kind of might test that theory because he was so good the last 2 years, right? So what is 15 mil a year? By the way, only one running back in the NFL right now, according to overthecap.com, has an annual average contract of over 15 million a year. That's Christian McCaffrey at 19 million. After that, it's Jonathan Taylor at 14, Saquon at 12.5, Alvin Kamara at 12.5, Josh Jacobs at 12. That's it. Like, that would be the second highest in the league if you go to 15. I don't think I'm willing to do that. As great as James Cook has been for me and my organization, I wouldn't do that. In fact, I think I would say let him play it out and franchise tag him. Might be actually less next year than that. So we'll get to get your phone calls. In fact, I think Angelo has a question about that. Go ahead, Angelo. What's your question, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing? Hi, Sal.
Good. Thanks.
I was just saying, can't they franchise tag him, or is it just has to go through the process of his contract? And I don't think he's worth 15, but I mean, they restructure him or what?
Let me see the franchise tag numbers from last year. Give me 1 second. I'll look this up. Here we go. This year, the projected franchise tag number, if someone's going to franchise tag a running back this year, it's only going to be at 13.6. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to go up a little bit. It might be right around 15 next year. They could just do that. You could go, if you went 1 year, 15 mil to try and work it out, that would be better than signing him maybe to an average annual value of $15 million. I don't know. So how it would work, the mechanics of it, Angelo, to answer your question is you would have to let him play out this year. And then if there's no contract extension, you put the franchise tag on him next year before free agency begins. That would be probably about $15 million. But that also gives you time to work out a new deal, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay. All right. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Let's go to Mike in Holland. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? I was just curious.
Good,
do you think this is Cook's cryptic way of saying he's going to hold out? We don't pay him?
Nope, nobody holds out anymore. If you hold out, it's way too pricey. You just don't get holdouts anymore. It's $40,000 a day or something like that. It's just nobody holds out anymore. So he could try that. But I guess maybe you do have an example of here or there a guy has done it, but I just can't see that happening in this situation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. I don't think so. I mean, I guess you could say, well, those Sal guys have held out. That's right. I mean, heck, look at who's the guy that did it last year? Hassan Reddick, right? Hassan Reddick held out. He didn't care. He just kept getting fines. I just don't see that happening. It's possible, not to totally dismiss what you're asking right there to the caller. Not totally dismissing. I just can't see it here because players just don't do that anymore. It's just too cost prohibitive to actually hold out. The CBA prevented that. That was one of the really good things they did about the last CBA. They're like, yeah, you're not holding out anymore if you're under contract. Like, if you're not under contract as a draft pick that, you know, hasn't signed yet, you're not getting fined because you're not under contract. You're not, you know, but in that case, there's no reason to hold out anyway because you're getting a structured contract. Something that's predetermined based on the formula of draft picks. So I wouldn't say that. I mean, I guess he could play hardball. He might hold out if you want to talk about, like, not training camp, but like OTAs. Sure. I wonder if we see James Cook at OTAs. That could be something that maybe we have a storyline. There it is. I mean, thinking about it now, it probably very much is going to be a storyline. Voluntary workouts, OTAs. Is James Cook there? You also have the issue of four other players. Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, and Khalil Shakir. They're all in the same boat. All of them. Like, they're all going into the final year of their contract, and you can't pay everybody. So I just, you know, wonder where this goes. Let's go to TJ in West Seneca. Hi, TJ.
Hey, Sal, it's CJ, but that's fine. A quick question. I just want to ask you, because Bean came here, in 2017? He's been the GM. Mm-hmm. The Bills haven't used the tag in the 7 years he's been here. Is that more of like a philosophical thing where they don't want to have to pay like the top five average, whatever it is, for the franchise tag for players?
It's or
is
a good
it
question.
They don't want to do it for, yeah. Or is it because they obviously...
My guess is that... It is philosophical because let me explain too. What happens is if you use the franchise tag, you immediately tie up all of that money and you can't, now that's right on your cap. Bam. It just goes on your cap and you can't do anything. I think Bean's philosophy has been, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather be able to sign something else to give me more flexibility, because if you sign a deal that's even 2 years. You can push money the second year. You have more flexibility. So I do think it's probably something philosophical. They also haven't gotten to a point where they've really had anybody that's kind of worth that kind of money. I mean, I guess Tremaine Edmonds would have been somebody you thought about, but they never would do it that. And then he got paid even more so on the open market, but hasn't been anybody like that to use it on, I guess. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. And then the one thing, too, is that they always talk about culture. And obviously the culture in their locker room is probably one of, if not the best in the league. But if you're a franchise that's known for tagging players all the time, you know, free agents probably don't want to go there because they'd rather want to get a full contract as opposed to having to play on a one-year deal. So they probably do that for, you know, the sake of player retention, too, where they don't want to have people think that they have to do that all the time to keep their top talent. So.
Yeah, players notice that stuff. They definitely do, CJ. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We'll take a timeout. Brent Axe, Syracuse.com, is going to join me after this timeout. The changing landscape of the college sports scene and trying to keep up with it and covering it. And I mean, I just, as a fan, it's just too tough for me. What's it like even covering and knowing what's going on? And what is going on? And why is Syracuse basketball just in such a free fall and downfall as opposed to the football team being able to figure it out, I guess. We'll talk about all of that, but really the college sports scene in general. Brent Axe coming up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.